Good morning. It's 12th of March. Our New Testament reading today is Luke 3, in which we read about the baptism of Jesus. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis once again. Brother Purkis describes the baptism, then writes this. We cannot leave this matter without giving it some examination from the point of view of Jesus himself and the work he had come to do. His answer to John's objection, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness," is the first evidence of his sinlessness. The multitudes had come to John confessing their sins and had submitted to the baptism of repentance. Jesus also submitted, but his baptism was not an acknowledgement of his sin, but the demonstration of his righteousness. No words of Jesus are without weight, and his answer to John indicates that it is in the spirit of humility that righteousness is to be achieved. This baptism among sinners was the preface to a greater baptism, which had to be accomplished in the same spirit of humble submission to God's will, with the same great end in view, to fulfil God's righteousness. Unlike the first Adam, who thought that equality with God was a thing to be grasped at, Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And thus, joining sinful men, preaching the gospel to the poor, washing his disciples' feet, and suffering the crowning indignities of his trial and death, he fulfilled all righteousness and brought to man the first fruits of a peace with God far greater than the harmony which Adam lost. Thus the great baptism began. Luke records that as Jesus was baptized, he prayed. In this moment of complete surrender, he was in the presence of God. This sublime example should be in the mind of all who come to God by him. It indicates no merely formal obedience, but a sacred submission to the presence of God. As Jesus rose from the waters, God confirmed his righteousness from heaven and anointed him for his life of dedication by the gift of the Holy Spirit. From the age of 12 he had consecrated himself to his Father's business. Now his ears were opened to hear the voice that called him to embark upon the baptism of water and blood through which he would eventually take away the sin of the world. The words of the psalmist glowed with life in the spirit of Jesus. "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." His Father accepted him and illuminated his path with words which would bring exaltation to his burdened heart during the dark days that lay before him. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Both by water and by the Spirit was Jesus baptized, and henceforth all who come to the Father through him would enter the kingdom through baptism of water and of the Spirit. Although John proclaimed that the coming one would sift the wheat from the chaff, he did not live to hear the full confirmation of his message from the lips of Jesus. "I am come to send fire on earth." It is possible, however, that his disciples may have carried to him in prison the words spoken in Galilee. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." It is a strange paradox that when Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many, his coming left fire and sword behind. But when he comes again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, the final effect will be of peace and joy in an age when God shall wipe away all tears, and there shall be no more death. May that day come soon. Thank you for listening.